On Friday morning, I'm heading to the plane to go to Singapore to preach a conference there. And so therefore, I cannot go any further than the Thursday evening. And I want to thank our brethren for giving us the opportunity of preaching in this gospel campaign. It's a joy and it's a privilege to preach this, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Let's turn our Bibles here to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. We'll read a few verses at the beginning and then we'll go down the chapter, commencing at verse number 1. And it came to pass as Jesus went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him, and let him go. And he answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said Jesus unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servants, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. We end our reading there in that 14th chapter of the book of Luke. Just let's keep our Bibles open and our heads bowed before the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again for thy word. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and write it upon every heart. We thank thee, we praise thee, it's the entrance of thy word that giveth light, and I pray that, O God, that thou wilt take of thy word and plant it deep. O God, that no man or woman will turn away from listening and heeding the word of the living God. And so to this end, I ask thee, O God, give me the power that I need to preach, and cover me afresh in the precious blood, and protect me from every attack of hell. And cover this meeting in the blood. Keep the devil out, we pray. And bring souls to Christ, for we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Whenever our Lord Jesus was 12 years old as a little boy, he went with Mary and Joseph there to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. And whenever they were returning home, the Lord Jesus Christ was missing. And of course they went to find out where he was, and they found the Lord Jesus amidst the doctors he was hearing, and he was asking them questions. Mary asked the Lord Jesus a question. She said, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? She was annoyed because the Bible says she was sorrowing. She thought that she had lost the Lord Jesus, and said, therefore in the crowd. And therefore she was desirous to find him. But the Lord Jesus replied to Mary that day this answer. He said, Wist thee not that I must be about my Father's business? And friend, that sums up the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of Christ, because that's why he was here. That's why he came into the world, to do the Father's business, to do the Father's will. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And my friend, to do the Father's will, he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And there on the cross of Calvary, he died and shed his precious blood. Now, in doing the Father's business, the Lord Jesus Christ went into certain places. Quite often you find him in the synagogue. But whenever you turn to verse number 1 of chapter 14, it's not a synagogue he's in. The Bible says it came to pass as Jesus went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. And therefore we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is in this chief of the Pharisees' houses. The Pharisee, of course, was a member of the strictest legalistic religious grouping. They were highly respected in the community, but they added burdens to the hearts of men and women that God had not commanded. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has been bidden to come to this house of this Pharisee. Remember, it was a Sabbath day. And therefore the food would not be prepared that day, because the food would be prepared the day before. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ came and the food was ready. Now it says here, it was on the Sabbath day. And therefore that meant that it was after the service in the synagogue that the Lord Jesus Christ went into this chief of the Pharisees' houses. Now you say to us, isn't it wonderful that the chief of the Pharisee would ever want the Lord Jesus Christ in his house? But look at the end of verse number one of chapter 14, and we find the reason why he was asked. It says, they watched him. In other words, here we find that these people were anxious to watch the Lord Jesus Christ, for the purpose of their coming was not to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be glad that he was there, but they had come to criticize him. They were watching him with the intent to criticize, to find fault, to point the finger at the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whilst it looked good, there was another reason. And friend, not everybody comes to a gospel meeting for the same reason. Not everyone comes to hear the word of God. Perhaps maybe tonight you're here, and be honest, the reason why you're here is because somebody asked you. You didn't want to say no because they've asked you a number of times. And therefore, to please a friend, that's why you've come. Thank God you're here. I don't care what the reason you've come, friend. But thank God you're here, because the Lord is able to deal with every situation. Just as we'll see in this passage of God's word. They asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the house, but it was there to watch him with the intent to find fault and to criticize the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ could deal with the situation. Don't you worry about him in the midst of this crowd of religious hypocrites. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he was there. He was invited for to trap him. But the Lord was fully aware of their hearts. So the Lord Jesus was not taken off guard. He wasn't caught off guard being here. No, he took the opportunity to drive home his precious word. And thank God, my friend, I don't know why you came tonight, but I'm taking the opportunity to bring the gospel to your soul. I'm taking the gospel, the opportunity to tell you that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ was in this situation. They were there to watch him. Now, what were they watching? Go to the second verse. That gives us a secret. Behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Now the Bible draws our attention immediately to a certain man. The Bible says he had the dropsy. Now what was that? This man was suffering from the excessive accumulation of serious fluids in his body. In other words, that indicates that he's suffering from organ failure. He's suffering from organ failure. In actual fact,
He probably was terminally ill. This was going to kill him. Now, friend, let me tell you this. You say, well, listen, wasn't it good the Pharisee brought this man into the presence of Jesus because he is a healer of broken bodies as well as broken hearts? But that was not why they had him there. Yes, not only did they invite Jesus, but they invited this man. Because notice where they put him. It says, behold, there was a certain man before him. In other words, they had him placed in a certain place, just directly in front of the eyes of Christ. Now you say, isn't that good? No, friend, that was not the purpose. Because let me explain. You see, friend, the Pharisees viewed such a condition as this man had was God's judgment for a life of immorality. They looked upon him actually as ritually unclean. And yet, my friend, they brought him there and they placed him directly in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wouldn't have him there. Only they were seeking to catch Christ, to trap the Savior. You see, they had set the trap. And they were sitting back, as it says in verse 1, to watch him. To watch him. Yes, they placed him before or in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were deliberately seeking to bait the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there he was, straight in front of Jesus. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was staring into the face of that man, and that man into the face of the Lord Jesus, in this pathetic situation, he was a dying man. They said to themselves, listen, it's the Sabbath day. But you know, this man called Jesus, he cannot do anything else but heal on the Sabbath day. And then we've got him. You see, as I said, normally no Pharisee, never mind the chief of the Pharisees, would have tolerated this man at the feast in the first place, because he was ceremoniously unclean. But they brought him that day. They planned it with a sinister purpose to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. Now why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was reported as having broken the Sabbath by healing on other occasions. But this was a different occasion. The Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, in the synagogue of Capernaum, there was a man there with an unclean spirit, and the Lord cast the unclean spirit out of the man and healed him. Give him liberty from his bondage. It was the Sabbath day. It was in the Sabbath day that the Lord Jesus Christ went into a home and healed Peter's wife's mother. That same chapter 4 of the book of Luke's Gospel. And then in the sixth chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus went into the synagogue, and there were Pharisees and scribes were there that were watching the Lord Jesus Christ, and a man came in, and he had got a withered hand. And on that occasion, once again, they watched him so as to find accusation against the Lord Jesus. And then in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, we find that a woman with an infirmity, 18 years, she was bowed down with this infirmity. She couldn't lift herself up, and there she came into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and on the Sabbath day, the Lord Jesus Christ healed her immediately. Thank God she was made straight. Now on that day also, the ruler of the synagogue challenged the Lord Jesus. But you read that chapter 13 of the book of Luke's Gospel. You know what Jesus called that ruler? He says, you're a hypocrite. That's all you are. Remember what the Lord Jesus says? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! They wouldn't go in themselves. They wouldn't come to Christ themselves. But they would keep everybody else out. And yet they said they were under the disguise of religion. And so there was a background to the confrontation. Because this was not only a ruler of the synagogue, friend. This was the chief, one of the chief of the Pharisees. Probably he was one of the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish council. And they wanted to trap Christ in front of him. And so he was brought. They would get the evidence against Christ in it. Now the interesting thing is this. Nobody spoke. But look at verse 3. Or verse 3. And Jesus answering spake unto them. But nobody had asked a question. And yet Jesus answered a question that was never asked. Now, why did they do that, friend? The answer is very simple. They didn't ask it with their lips, friend, but they were questioning it in their hearts. And Jesus knew their heart. Just as I say to you tonight. You may never say a word of rejection to the Lord Jesus Christ from your lips, but all you have to do at the end of the service is to walk through that tent door without Christ and without saying a word. You're rejecting him. You're saying no to the Son of God. And as we talked last night about making a choice and how serious a choice is for men and women when they're confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then nobody ever spoke a word that day, that man was sitting in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of them asked him, are you going to heal him? They believed he would. They believed that the God of love, the Lord Jesus Christ, would find it irresistible not to heal him. And so they waited because they watched him. But Jesus knew what was going on in their hearts. And tonight, the Savior knows what's going on in your heart tonight. Thou, God, seest me. And thou knowest me altogether. Sad reality is that in many of a meeting, many a man is planning what he's going to do the next day. He's not thinking about the things of God at all. He's not thinking about his soul. He's thinking about his work. He's thinking about his farm. He's thinking about his business. He's thinking about his friends. He's thinking about the weekend. But nobody sees that. That's not true, friend. The Lord knows what's going on in your heart right now. And the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody asked a question. But verse 3 says, Jesus answered. And Jesus answered with a question. He spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees. Who were they? The lawyers were the legal scholars. They were the experts in the Mosaic law. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was being judged, and the Lord Jesus looked into their eyes and he asked them this question. They were the interpreters of the law. And Jesus knew their hypocritical hearts. Isn't it interesting? They brought him to trap him. But Jesus trapped them. You see, the Lord turned the table upon these people that day. Because he asked this question, is it lawful? Now, if they said yes, that raised a problem of their traditions that they had added to the law of Moses. But if they said no, then they would be looked upon that they didn't care. They were uncaring. Especially when they had invited this man to the feast. And here was the great healer. So when the Lord Jesus said to them, "Is it lawful for me to heal this man?" What were they going to say? Now what did they say? Look at verse 4. They said nothing. They held their peace. Not a whisper. Not a whimper. Because they had nothing to say. You know, many a man has said to me, "You see, the day I meet God, I'll tell God a few things." I want to tell you, friend, that poor fool doesn't know what he's talking about. Because the Bible says on that day, they'll be silenced. And when every sin calls for judgment at the great white throne judgment of God, and every sin calls guilty and calls for the judgment of God for that sin and hell forever, not one man will object. Because they can't. They have nothing to say. Notice what Jesus did then. Look at verse 4. And Jesus took him. And what that means is that the Lord Jesus took grip of him. The Lord Jesus took possession of him. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus healed him. And let him go. Yes, the Lord Jesus has more to say. But the Lord Jesus let the man go. He didn't need to get involved anymore. Yes, they had brought him in to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus sent him out. Delivered. Healed. But the Lord wasn't finished. Notice what happened next. And he took him and healed him and let him go and answered them. Notice, once again, the Lord Jesus answers them, but they didn't ask him anything. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is continuing to speak because the Lord Jesus was not finished with these hypocrites that were blocking many a man's way to God and to pardon and to peace and to heaven itself would gladly take them to hell. And the Lord Jesus asked him another question. He posed another question. And notice it was very pointed this time. Because verse 5. And answered them saying, "Which of you?" And he's looking between the eyes now. He says, "Which of you? Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightly pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And he was pointing to how corrupt their heart was, because they had more pity on a beast than they had for a son. They had more pity for the ass or the ox if it fell in, but they didn't care about the soul. They didn't care about the man who needed the Lord's touch. And so the Lord exposes their hearts. Now you can imagine the uneasy silence that were there at that moment, friend, because they never spoke a word. Because these hypocrites, their hearts were exposed before the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord's not finished with them. He goes on. And the Bible says in verse 7, he puts forth a parable. Because the Lord Jesus Christ not only noticed where they had placed this poor man that was terminally ill to trap the Savior, he noticed where they were sitting. He noticed where what seats that they had taken. And so the Lord Jesus Christ went on to talk about the man and the wedding and the sitting in the highest places and how that they give it to the more honorable man. They give the place, the position. And once again, he exposed their self-seeking attitude. What is he pressing home, friend? That all their religion, they were lost. Maybe you're here tonight and you're what called a religious person. I remember my father in his ungodly days. My father, when he was an unsaved man, he was good to our family, and I thank God for that, but my father loved the drink. He worked hard from morning to night, but there came a time whenever Dad would leave us and go to the pub, and he would drink and come in, and I remember as a child running from him in his drunkenness. But friend, I remember one night, I remember he was so drunk, my brother and I lifting him bodily and putting him into the bed. And the minute we pulled the clothes over him, like a shot, he fell on his knees, because he never went to bed without saying the Lord's Prayer. He was brought up in a home where God's name was honored. But my daddy was lost. And maybe you're here tonight in this service, and there's never a night passes but you say the Lord's Prayer. Maybe there's not a day passes but you read the Scriptures. But you're not saved. Like these people, friend, you're religious, but lost. I remember one day getting a telephone call. A lady rang me up. She said to me, "Mr. McCrae, my father's in the hospital." I know she doesn't belong to your church. I know she doesn't belong to your town, but my mother's in hospital. She's dying of cancer. Mommy's not saved. She's a very religious woman, but she's not saved. And in tears, she said to me, "Mr. McCrae, would you go to the Mid-Ulster Hospital? Would you talk to my mommy? And please seek to win her for Christ." And then she said this to me, "But don't tell her I sent you." Now, what was I doing at this woman's side, friend, whom I didn't know? And yet I'm standing at her side in the hospital bed to challenge her about her soul. I prayed hard that God would guide me, but I knew this woman was brokenhearted and she had a burden over her mother. I would to God that every child had such a burden for their lost loved ones. I would to God that every father and mother had such a burden for their lost children. And this girl was so sincere. I prayed that God would give me an open opportunity. I went into the Mid-Ulster Hospital at that time. I went up the stairs. I went along the corridor. It was into the single rooms. And there's one room where there were two people. And that was the room she was. Now, I've learned the Bible says you're to be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove. And so I walked in. So I didn't go to her first of all. I went to the other lady. I just was looking into the ward. And the lady waved at me, and so therefore I wanted to see her. And when I went in to see her, I sat down and I talked to her for a while, and we had a chat together. And if God opens the opportunity to spiritual things, then you take the opportunity that God gives you. And then I made my way over to the other bed. Now, the woman was very polite. She was very delighted to see me. She knew me. I didn't know her. And she said, "Mr. McCrae, it's lovely to see you." I sat down beside her and started to talk, and said, "Let me tell you, I talked about the Lord," and she said, "Ah, Mr. Mary, I couldn't live without him. I couldn't live. Listen, every day I just need him. I pray and I just thank him. I thank him in the morning for another day that God has given me." And my friend, listen, no matter what opportunity or where I tried to get in with the gospel, it seemed to be as if the door was shut closed and I couldn't get a chink. And all the armor there, it just seemed as if the armor was on and I couldn't get through. And I remember sitting at that bed before God, and I'm witnessing his presence tonight. And I remember sitting in that room and I prayed that God would help me. And this voice spoke to me sitting at her bed, and the voice said this, "Ask her when it happened." And I looked around to see who was there, but no one was standing there. And I took it from the Lord. I said to her, "Dear, I'm interested in what you said about you couldn't do without the Lord. Tell me, when did it happen?"
She says, when did what happen? I said, when did you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? She looked at me, she says, I don't know what you're talking about. And praise God, the door was open. And I sat at the side of her bed that day, and I told her the sweet story of the gospel, and of her need of God's salvation. And as I told it, I noticed there were tears in her eyes, and at the end of the conversation, she said, Mr. McRae, could I be saved? I said, praise God, you can. And that day in that hospital ward, friend, God opened, like Lydia, God opened her heart. And that day she received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, up to that moment, friend, she was religious. I couldn't live without him. I pray to him every morning. I pray to him every evening. I read his word. But she was religious, but she didn't know the Lord. You see, she had religion, but she had no relationship with God through Christ. And maybe there's someone here tonight and you've got religion, and friend, listen, you go through the rituals of your denomination and you try the best you can and you live as clean a life as you possibly can, but you're not saved from your sin. You've never confessed your need of Christ. You've never received the blessed Son of God. You're religious but lost. Religious but lost. And Jesus looked into their hearts. And Jesus, remember Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Notice he said, good master, thou art a teacher come from God. No man could do these miracles except them. And he went in for a religious bit of a conversation. Jesus Christ just dismissed it all. Jesus looked into Nicodemus' eyes and he said this, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. That's your need. And let's cut to the chase, friend. Let's stop fooling around. Let's stop pussyfooting around. Men and women without Christ are lost. And if they die without Christ, they'll go to hell without Jesus Christ, and they'll never get back. And Jesus looked into their eyes of these people. And he exposed their hypocrisy. And then he said in verse 14, he talked about, thou shalt be blessed, for they shall recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Verse 15 says, when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto Jesus, blessed is he. They broke their signs. And one man said, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And what he was really saying, friend, to Jesus was this. Blessed are the likes of us who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. You see, he couldn't see it. He couldn't see he was lost. I wonder tonight, before God, can you see? Can you see your standing before God tonight? Do you see how you stand before God right now? And then the Lord Jesus turned, and this is what he said. Look at verse 16. Then said Jesus unto him, and he told him about the man who made a great supper. And he bade many. He sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And friend, in the closing moments, that's what I want us to think about. The invitation extended. There was a great supper. Now let me give you the custom. It'll help you to understand this. There was a custom in the day of Christ concerning feasts. And that involved two invitations. First of all, an announcement was made weeks or even months in advance before the feast. And those invited would indicate whether they intended to accept or to decline the invitation. And then when the day of the feast came,
The master of the house would send out his servants, and they would go back to those that were invited before and had indicated that they were coming. And they would say, "Come now, for all things are now ready." And so the servants went out a second time to invite. Let me ask you a question. How many times has the Spirit of God invited you to Christ? How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times have you heard a faithful preacher tell you your need of God's salvation? And the Spirit of God has written the words that He has spoken. Maybe even you trembled in your seat as you listened to the Word of God, for you knew that God was speaking, that God was calling you. And here was this invitation. Come! It is simple. He didn't tell them to do anything. Just come. The invitation was to come. And that's the invitation of the gospel. Him that cometh to me, says Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. Now why do you come? Because you realize that you need to come. And why do you need to come? Because you realize that you're lost in your sin, that you're a sinner before God, and only Jesus Christ can save you from your sin. And the invitation of the Spirit of God to your heart is, come. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. And he that heareth saith, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The invitation is simple, friend. And tonight God invites you to come to His Son by faith. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in His Word, He has shown us the way. Here in our midst, He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. But notice what He said. Look at the invitation, verse 17. Come, for all things are now ready. Come when? Come now. Come now. While the voice of God is calling, be in time. Last night, the last part of our illustrations was on Matthew chapter 27, where Pilate says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? There was a famous preacher, his name was D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody. And on the 8th of October, 1871, on a Sunday night, D.L. Moody was standing preaching to the largest congregation that he had ever addressed in the city of Chicago. And his text was, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And D.L. Moody said this, I made the greatest mistake of my ministry. Because I turned to that congregation and I said to the congregation, I wish you to take that text home with you. And I want you to turn it over in your minds during the week. And next Sabbath, we'll come to Calvary and to the cross, and we will decide what to do with Jesus of Nazareth. He told them, come next week. Ari Sankey was the song leader. And when the preacher had finished his preaching, Ari Sankey began to sing the hymn, today the Savior calls, for refuge lie. The storms of justice falls, and death is nigh. But Sankey never finished the hymn. Because as Sankey was singing that hymn, my friend, outside they could hear the rush and the roar of fire engines that were whistling past the church. And before morning, much of the city of Chicago lay in ruins, in ashes. To his dying day, D.L. Moody said, he deeply regretted that he told his congregation to come next Sabbath and to decide what to do with Jesus. And he said this, I have never seen that congregation since. They never got back the next Sabbath, for many of those people were burnt alive and went out to a lost eternity. Come! I tell you tonight, come!
to Jesus Christ. But I tell you, in God's name, the invitation is, come now. Come now. Run to Jesus.
Why? All things are now ready. In other words, all is prepared. Completely prepared. Everything provided. And I want to tell you tonight, thank God in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything has been provided through the cross. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, see it through his precious blood. You see, the work was done. And everything was available at another's expense. For the provision was made freely. And God offers every sinner tonight a full, a free, a complete pardon for sin. And peace with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, his Son, upon the cross of Calvary. You can't work your way to heaven, friend. The invitation was extended. These people had got nothing to do. Only come. Because the work was done. Do you not see it tonight? God has provided salvation. But here's the insult exposed. Look at verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, excuses are curses. And when you have no more excuses left, there'll be hope for you. And you realize there's nothing, no excuse to give. Notice there wasn't a reason here. There was an excuse. An excuse. Billy Sunday said, an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. They all began with one consent to make excuse. One man says, I bought a field ground. I need to go and see it. I'm a farmer's son, friend. And any man that buys a piece of ground and he has never seen it, he needs his head examined. Because it could be nothing else than a swamp. And he's paid a fortune for it. And all the people say, wasn't that kind of a boy an idiot? Buying the likes of that. Tell me, can you imagine him going to see it at dark? And he wants to see the piece of ground that he has bought. He is a price paid friend. And he can look into it as much as, should it be a hole in the ground, he can look into it as long as he likes. It's not going to change. The deed's done. The deal's done. He says, I bought it. And then the second boy, he says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. And in those days, they were ploughed with the oxen. And he says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I need to go and prove them. What kind of an idiot was he? He was going to yuck them up in the dark. It'd be some wonderful line from going down in the field, wouldn't it? I think it was a drunk man going down in the field. But I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go and prove them. And then the last man says, I've married a wife. And he says this, therefore I can't come. You notice who's the boss in that house. I can't come. Now friend, let me tell you this. You and I can look at those men and say, what fools they were. Because God says they all began with one consent to make excuse. It wasn't a reason. It was only an excuse. But let me ask you and turn the question on you tonight. What's your excuse? Why aren't you saved? Why aren't you born again? Why haven't you come to Jesus Christ and trusted him as your Savior?
And you can laugh at the excuse of these people, but let me ask you this, my friend. What an excuse are you giving to God? Why, you've turned your back on his son and trampled under your feet the precious blood of Jesus Christ and say no to the blessed Son of God. What's your excuse? Come on, be the man, tell us. Tell us why it is that you want to go to hell instead of heaven. Tell us why it is that you'd be separated in a lost eternity and the rest of your loved ones in the glory. What's the reason?
You have none. But what's your excuse? Sometimes I think I've heard them all. You know what keeps people from Christ? Pride. They won't confess. They won't admit they're a sinner. They don't see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I'm good enough. Do you really believe that, friend? You really believe that you're good enough to get into heaven, that God's Son, who left heaven's glory and went to the cross of Calvary to die for sinners, and as far as you're concerned, you don't need Jesus. No, no, no. You're good enough. You get in your way. You slip in your way. Do you really believe that? Are you such a fool? Pride.
The Lord Jesus looked up into the tree when he was walking past Zacchaeus, and he said to Zacchaeus, I'll tell you what you got to do, man. Come down. Come down to my feet.
Humble yourself. Zacchaeus came down in front of everybody, friend. But thank God, God gave him the grace to come down. He didn't care anymore what others thought. He needed Jesus. He climbed up into that tree. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. But thank God, Jesus brought him down to his feet and showed him who he was. A sinner. And I say to you in God's name tonight, before lest you go to hell, in God's name, humble yourself and come down out of that rotten old tree of your pride that you think you're good enough to get into heaven yourself, because you'll never make it. Is it people? You're worried about what others think? You say to me, I preach, I would have tell you. I know enough of people that profess to be saved and they're a bundle of hypocrites. Let me tell you, friend. So you won't come to Christ because of hypocrites. Well, you're going to hell and it's full of hypocrites. And you wouldn't come to Christ and be saved and escape hell. But you go to the place where hell's full of them. And that's where you'll be for all eternity. People, friends, family, is that what's keeping you from Christ? Is it the price? Oh, you say to me, I've too much to give up, preacher. Let me tell you, friend, it is true. You've got to give up your sin. You've got to repent. You've got to confess your sin. Repent. You've got to turn from your sin. But let me tell you this. God never asked a man to give up that which is for his good. God wants you to give up your sin. And praise God, what you have to say goodbye to is nothing to what you get. You get God's peace and God's pardon and God's salvation and God's heaven at the last. Hallelujah. But people say the price. Maybe there's someone here. You say it's the past. Preacher, if you only knew me. Friend, I don't need to. God knows all about your past. And let me say this. There's not one person in this meeting, but every last one of us have a past. Every last one. A and it's nothing to be proud of. But you say, preacher, I'd love to come to Christ, but I couldn't keep it because of my past. I want to tell you, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his presence with exceeding great joy. Time's away. Is it pleasures? Pleasures. The pleasures of the world. Remember this. The pleasures of the world are only for a season. Only for a season. Is it procrastination? You say, what do you mean, preacher? You say, well, I intend to come someday. But not tonight. You know, that's the biggest lie of hell. That's the biggest lie the devil has ever put in a man's head. I'll come someday. For they said, the invitation was, come now. Come now. God never promised you another day. God never promised you another day, friend. God never promised me another day. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a great day brings forth. This could be our last day. And yet the devil says, tomorrow. Remember what Felix said? When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. But friend, the season was up. What's your excuse? What an awful thing to die in sin and go to hell, and there in the darkness of hell to realize what a fool I've been. I sat in that tent along the Armagh Portadown Road. I heard the preacher telling me about my need of Jesus, and I knew what he said was true. But I didn't come. I went out another night. I made me excuse. The excuse has satisfied me. But it doesn't wash with God. Eternity. You know, the instruction was given. Time's away. I haven't time to go into it. Instruction was go into the city quickly. Go out the poor. They can't pay. Go and get the maimed. They're the twisted and the broken and the deformed. By sin, nothing lovely in them. The halt, the cripple, that never be able to come on their own. The blind, they're trampled in the world of darkness. Go out and tell them to come in, that my house may be full. And they said, Master, we've done it. And then he said this. He says, go out into the highways and hedges. What did that mean? Go out to the nobodies. Go out to the devil's castaway. The homeless. The wanderers. And tell them they're welcome to come. Nobody's turned away. Sinner, you're welcome at the cross. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for some. There's room at the cross for you. But mark verse 24. And now he's looking at those that were sitting at that feast. He says, I say unto you that none of those men which were bitten shall taste of my supper. They wouldn't come. God took them at their word. And God handed them over to their sin. That's the danger, friend. How many times have you said no to the blessed Son of God? How many meetings have you walked out of? How many appeals has your heart broken in, but you did not come to Christ? And you've said to yourself, another time, God said, not any that were bidden, that were bidden to the feast, will eat of my supper. You know that story? I mentioned D.L. Moody. That was the last sermon he ever preached on that text of scripture. D.L. Moody, in November 1899 in Kansas City, he was a sick man. He said this before he preached, never, never have I wanted so much to lead men and women to Christ as I do this time. There was a throbbing in his chest. He had to reach out his hand and hold the organ to keep him from falling. He bravely preached, and 50 souls were saved. Next day, he left for home. And the next month he died. What was his last sermon? Compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. And he stood there and he begged men and women to come to Jesus. And tonight in this tent, I beg you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word tonight. Use it for thy glory. Lord, if there be those in this gathering and they're not saved, oh God, I pray, sweep away the refuge of lies. Sweep away their every excuse that they've ever made, ever hid behind. And give them judgment day honesty, that they might get right with thee, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.